Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. VFN Radio is here today to encourage you, to inspire you to look truth, facts, square in the eye, and shine the light of God's hope upon it in words, to inspire you to do something positive about it and to activate you in your destiny in God. Joining me to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. Give a shout out to all those who are facing this super storm called Sandy on the East Coast, that our prayers are with you. Be strong and courageous. Be prepared. Water, food, heat. To hunker down for a little bit. This too will pass. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. Well, here we are. I was just thinking about the storm surge. The storm surge, you know, coming in from the Hudson. Now, I've seen some stuff. I remember when I was in New York during the snow, and it's not as pretty as you think it is when it mixes with all the oil and the dirt and the grease and everything that's in the streets, and they take dozers and they dump it into the Hudson. And, I've seen some people, skiing in the Hudson and doing things in the Hudson, jet skiing in the Hudson. And personally, I would go for a different area to swim.
Yeah, dirty snow and oil is the least of your worries in the Hudson.
Right, things might float up from the bottom if the chain breaks loose. but understand that all that street, the island drains off into the Hudson, and of course from the other side, Jersey, and all. And I'm thinking about what's going to wash up on the shores of the financial district.
Oh wow!
Of all the unclean water that's going to wash up on the land and the beautiful parts of the island there, and also in Jersey.
Yeah, Hoboken.
So yes, Hoboken supposed to be underwater, right?
Yeah. Yeah, at the very low, they're concerned that the water is going to get into these basement apartments, and all of that Hudson is going to be on both sides. So one side of Jersey and the other side of Lower Manhattan is going to be not good.
Well, know this, that being someone that have come through hurricanes, they blow in and they blow out. And when they're done, it is finished. And then if you have to, you just begin again with, cutting down trees and starting to move some stuff. This is a perfect time for the church to be activated, to think about ways that you can help people get water, help people get food. Think about your elderly people. Think about people that don't get out much and are limited or impaired in their walking, and don't assume somebody's taking care of them. If they're in your neighborhood, go and find their houses, check with them, make sure they're okay, and if you need be, bring them to your home, but at least make sure they have water and food and blankets. When you're older too, this cold is tough, and you want to make sure that you don't just think about just yourselves as a church. We want to think about everybody, and I've always encouraged, this is what I do in my own neighborhood, is I have a relationship with my neighbors, and we help each other out, and if something's going on, we come together, we talk about it. And that's what it's supposed to. That's why America was actually formed. But definitely, as believers, we should at least be meeting our neighbors, talking to them, and making sure everything's okay. And especially the elderly, make sure the elderly's okay, because a little bit of time without, and if it's heat, a little bit of time without the air conditioner can dehydrate them, and they can die, or they could start a generator but not understand they needed to vent it. If you have a generator, you need to vent the generator. It needs to be outside.
Not inside.
Not inside. Remember, a store owner that for some reason they didn't vent it well or whatever, and they died in their store from the exhaust. It's like, you know, you see where people have committed suicide by pulling their car in a garage and letting the muffler run because the carbon dioxide comes out of the muffler. Well, if you have a gas-powered generator and you put that by a window in your house, or you put that in your house or in your garage and let it go, it's all that's going to come in your house, and it will kill you. Yeah. It has to be outside, so you want to have it under like a little shelter or something, a little lean-to, and let it run like that. But be very cautious about those things. Also, think about this too, that when you're thinking about electrical power and having no lights, think about going to your local hardware store like Lowe's or Home Depot and getting some of those solar-powered little small lamps you put in your yard. You stick them in the grass or something, because that prevents from having a fire. You let that charge up, and people say, well, you're not going to have any sun in the storm. Well, if your power goes out, you're going to have some sun for quite some time because it'll take a while for them to turn the power back on. So you can put these little small $2 or $3 things in your yard and let this soak up the sun, and then you can give them to your children so they can walk around the house with solar-powered light instead of a candle. You just like, you look at your 6-year-old kid, I'm going to go to the back with a candle. Like, no, you're not.
No, I don't think so.
No, you're not.
You stay right there.
You stay right there. But you can give them a little $2 solar power thing that they can carry that everywhere they go, and it'll give them light all night long.
Yeah. The other thing you need to be careful about too, and be mindful of, that when it looks like it's getting really heavy and power may go out before then, you may want to look at taking some of your food and start freezing as much as you can, putting it in your freezer, so that when the power does come out, you know, stuff like milk and other things can begin to thaw out. You don't want to open it. And you also want to kind of fill up your bathtub with water, because if they shut down the water,
there's nothing more precious when you have a house full of people than to be able to flush.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
You take flushing. We're so blessed in America. And I personally, I'm peculiar anyway. I turn on the sink water and go, God, you're so good that water comes out of a faucet.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you flush a toilet. It's like, it's just a gift. It's such a gift to have being able to, because it's a very sanitary thing in regards to keeping your family healthy. When you go to Haiti, for example, they didn't have all those kind of facilities. And we're blessed to have those things. And sometimes we take them for granted, or we just think we don't realize how much we depend on them until we don't have them anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, think about that. You're filling your bathtub up, freezing your food, getting some of those. And most people probably aren't thinking about getting some of those solar powered looking sticks you stick in your. But it's brilliant. It's a brilliant way to be able to have some electricity.
Yeah, that's really good stuff. Also, too, if you can get a hold of an inverter, it's a device that you can go into a Walmart and it converts your battery in your car into electrical power, I think AC to electrical power. But if you go into a Walmart and go back into the car section, they can steer you where to get that, and you can plug an extension cord and you can charge up a phone. Previous hurricanes, we lost power, but amazingly, we had cell phone coverage. We had cell phone communications really big during a time like this.
Because they have towers versus wires. They have these towers that send out one way. And the, of course, the battery didn't last forever, but that's a brilliant way to do that, too. It has little clamps that you cook on your negative and positive batteries. And
or sometimes you could put them in the cigarette lighter, too.
Yeah, put them in the cigarette lighter. But things like that, you'd be surprised how important those things are. I remember one particular hurricane. It was just so hot. I mean, it was really, really hot. And our Amber, my daughter, she always had that flowing, long, beautiful, wavy hair.
Mm-hmm.
But long hair is not something you want to have during the heat.
No.
And so she came and she jumped in bed with us, which is like, anyway, and that all that long hair just flapped over on dog. Was like, oh my goodness, baby. Oh no.
Get
no.
that fur off.
it's hot. And, but you can hear, it's amazing. As soon as electricity shuts down, you can hear everything.
Everything.
Yeah. You can hear everything that's going on and, things you don't want to hear, you hear. And if you're the only one with a generator, they'll know it. Cause it'll sound like some huge 747 going off.
And they may come by.
Yeah, they come by.
These are great tips, because a lot of if you don't know, we have not experienced hurricanes in the Northeast, so there is no little experience in this area.
Did you hear what the governor of Connecticut said? I was talking about in the first hour.
Yeah,
and that's it's never never happen. This has happened never.
Right.
And so if you haven't yet gone to Prudent Preparation, watch Prudent Preparation on VFN TV. If you would have already watched it, you would have already been prepared, and this would have been just as tragic as it is, but you would have been able to be there and be stable for what's happening. Listen, if there's hurricanes on your East Coast and earthquakes on your West Coast and an unstable economy between the two, you need to prepare yourself.
That's right.
Because the shelves, and this is FIFO, FIFO, first in, first out, is the inventory system. So, John, tell us what happened to all the food and supplies on the shelves in the Northeast.
They're practically gone. They're all gone. You're trying to find food and water and things of that nature. And one of my neighbors came over the other day and said, oh, my daughter went out to try to get bread, and she couldn't even find a loaf of bread. She couldn't find a loaf of bread to make sandwiches for the kids. We're like, well, you know, here's some stuff, you know. But you want to make sure that you stock up early because it's bare. You're not going to get much of
it. And it's first in, first out. Understand this. Not only are the shelves empty, but they haven't produced the product yet that has to go on the truck to be able to get there. So you're looking at 30, 60 days to get things back in operation again if they're not in some earthquake zone, if they're not in some other kind of disaster that's going on. So give yourself some leeway in regards to, I know in the city quite often everything's right there right up under you, so you could shop on a daily basis if you wanted to and just go pick up some stuff, but you don't want to do that. You want to, you know, shop ahead of time and get some things. But go to Prudent Preparation. If you would have been listening to Prudent Preparation on VFN TV, watched it, and you would have actually had this. And let me tell you, there's a lot more coming where that
came
from.
There's a lot more.
And go to Prudent Preparation, and you want to find out about what's coming, go to the Elijah Storm and watch it at VFNTV.com. But also watch Prudent Preparation to understand how to be able to prepare for this.
Mm-hmm.
We know Rethinking Church. It's always important, and this is a conversation that we're having, you know, VFN Radio. It's just one conversation that about, you know, what God's been laying on our heart to be able to encourage you, to get you to start thinking outside the box. Thinking outside the box. And so we call this the original tenet of the church, a rethinking church. We want to begin to think, not just one word, rethinking, re and then thinking. What a concept. Let's think. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Well, it's because my father did it. And then you talk to his father, said, why are you doing it? He says, because my mother did it.
Right.
Does anybody know why you're doing it? I mean, is there any, and go back to the word, if only 19% of the church is reading the Bible, the thing is that we're doing things for many, many reasons, but God is not the reason for a lot of it then, if we're outside of his word, maybe philosophies or traditions or something of that nature. What I want to talk about is, in regards to rethinking church, is there is no us and them. There is no us and them. There's just us. Let me say it again. There is no us and them. You hear people quite often when they're talking about, and we try to formulate what we're saying in a way that this is our driving force and understanding that we are for the church. But we're not for what people are calling the church, buildings, organizations. We're for the people that are the church, believers. We're for Christians. And we're supposed to be. And it's just us. There is no us and them. There's just us. And, you know, some good examples, understanding that when you think about Joshua, when Joshua was facing a battle, and the angel of the Lord shows up and he says, whose side are you on? Are you on our side or are you on their side? And the angel says, neither. It's on God's side.
Right.
And there's only one church. When you think about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, he says, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, which is a journey we all have to go on.
Right.
Completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity, keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called to one hope when we were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And in all. Listen, there's only one. That's why, think about this. Why in the world would when you think about one human body, why would a hand speak against an arm? Why would an eye speak mm-hmm. against an ear? Why would a foot speak against a leg?
Right.
Kind of ridiculous, because it's the same body. Although it's we're right. many parts, we're one body. But you have to understand, if there's cancer in the body and you're speaking against the cancer, it's the body gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cell doing its own thing.
Right.
It's a rapid multiplication of what's normally supposed to happen at the same rhythm of every other cell. It's actually multiplying faster. Hence, you got a growth, you got a tumor or something of that nature. And so speaking about what's wrong in the body is not speaking against the body.
Mm-hmm.
And we're for the church. We're for you. We're for Jesus. If you're for Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you're a believer, you can't be for Jesus and against the church, because it's his body.
Right.
It's his body. And it's so important to understand that. So when you think about the church, think about people. And you think about three aspects of how the church is addressed. There's the world church, which is the entire body of the church, and the universal church, which is everything, everybody that ever was, is, and will be, that became Christians, who are Christians and who will be Christians, Christ followers. So there's the universal church. Then there's the regional church. The regional church is like when you hear them talk about, and writing the Bible, they talk about the church of Ephesus, the church of New York, the church of Smyrna, the church of Georgia, the church of America.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you can do that because it's not buildings, it's not organizations, it's not denominations, it's a people. And then you can talk about the local church, which are the same universal church, just different pieces of the church, different pieces mm-hmm. of it. And so right. understanding that if we start defining the church as anything other than what it is, everything gets confusing, and all of a sudden somebody starts thinking that you're talking against the church, and you're for the church. Mm-hmm. You know, that we laid on our lives for the church, and you should lay down your lives for the church,
mm-hmm.
but not for an organization.
Right.
Not for some man's philosophies, and not for some traditions, but just for the body, for the people, for the people. And so understanding that, then when we're rethinking church, begin to think about church as people. Begin to think about it as the body of Christ, human beings who've made a decision to follow Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of their life. Are we in many different positions in the body? Yeah, we got hands and feet and eyes, and we have different functions, but together we're one body. And God gives gifts to that one body to be able to function in the context of that. Right. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about the gifts. And the reason why he gives the gifts is not that any part's any better than any other part. It's just for a particular function that happens in the church. He talks about it in Ephesians 4:11. It says, it was he, which is Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. To what? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body, that's just one, the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure and the fullness of Christ. And he says that each of us should be able to do this, with Jesus Christ being the head, with each part joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, that we grow and we build ourselves up in love as each part does our work.
Right.
So there's a function that we have in the body. There's something that we're called to do. And so you cannot not address the cancer. If you identify yourself by your dis-ease, what you're being attacked with, instead of identifying yourself, or you identify yourself as, you know, I'm a, and you name whatever name that you gave yourself
mm-hmm.
and your organization, and there's people that will lay down their lives for the organization.
Right.
And that's just a man's it could be a good idea or a bad idea, but it is an idea that somebody came up with. Because when you look at the Word of God talks about us as a universal church.
Mm-hmm.
In all of us, and then segments of us, which would be regional, then you have the local church. When Paul went from city to city and town to town, he was not going to different churches. He was going to different parts of the church. Right. And when people would make their Jesus the Lord of their life, a new church would birth around that whole situation.
Right.
And which means a gathering. He says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And if Jesus is in the midst, if Jesus is in you and you're a believer, and Jesus is ruling in your midst, even with two of you, then who's to add to that? How can you add to that? And so it's so important. It's so important that when we're talking about what we're saying from VFN Radio and VFNT, we're talking to you to encourage you as the church.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you've gone astray and you once were walking with the Lord, I want you to know that God loves you and God's got a plan for you. We're talking to you too. We're hoping to encourage you to come back to the universal church, maybe in your region, maybe in a local expression of your of the church, to bring you hope. And those that maybe you're being drawn to God, you don't know God, you never knew him, but now you're feeling this drawing to God. And that we're talking to you to join the church, which is the body of Christ. And so we're not trying to. And this is the big thing, is that though the seeing it the wrong way, people think that they're building their kingdoms,
mm-hmm.
the kingdoms of man versus the kingdoms of God, with their own philosophies and their own concepts and traditions, versus there's only one kingdom in regards to the church. It's the kingdom of God, of which Jesus is king over.
Right.
And we're supposed to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things and stuff are added to us. And understanding that hey, to be for the church is to be for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But to not mention the very thing that's hurting the church is to be disobedient to God and to be a partner with one who destroys.
Right.
If you see what's going on and you see a part of the church going to the slaughter, they're making decisions, they're not introducing people to the voice of God, and they're totally vulnerable to the wolves devouring them, and you know this and you see this, mm-hmm. and you know plainly that, you know, that God's going to hold you accountable for not saying something, and if you don't say anything about it, and we're going to talk about this in a few moments, you have a fear of man versus a fear of God, because the fear of God, you're going to tell them. You're going to let them, hey, listen, mm-hmm. listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. You're going to have to spend some time with God. And so when you're rethinking church, I want you to think about this, that to be in competition with any part of the church is like a hand to be in competition with the eye, or the eye to be mm-hmm. in competition with the ear, or the foot to be in competition with the leg. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And if you've built your value and your sustention of life based on what you're getting from the body of Christ instead of on Christ himself, then you're going to try to sustain something that's artificially being sustained for your own personal benefit instead of letting God do whatever he's going to do with it.
Right.
We're called a vine. We go wherever the sun gives light, wherever God, that's what we do. We have family. God gives these gifts, but it's the gifts are to be able to train God's people for works of service. So every one of us are called to be the church, the body of Christ. And so I wanted to encourage you in rethinking the church, that when you look at a spirit of competition, which is, when you think of it, like it really is, I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Right.
It's like, it's embarrassing. What are you doing? Secondly, when you look at selfish ambition in the context of the church, you're being selfish against it's like the hand being selfish. If the hand gets selfish from the arm, the arm might say, hey, I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah.
And then the hand dies. If the heart gets selfish and say, hey, I feel like I'm more important than the body, then the whole body dies. Selfish ambition is ridiculous when you think about your body parts and how they function and the anatomy of your body. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how ridiculous it really is in the body of Christ. And so understand this then, that means if the spirit of competition and ambition divides, then it will divide the body of Christ. And just like in the natural sense, it'll bring death to a part of your body. We can end up hurting or harming the body of Christ when you think in the area of selfish ambition or competition. It's one, we need to get together.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other. But we need followers of Jesus Christ. We need to follow Jesus, not men. And we follow Jesus, we follow the Lord. We're actually following what we have in common is we come together, we say amen, because we're hearing the same voice, the same Lord, the same Spirit. That's what amen means. It doesn't mean, hey, that's a good song, or that's a good word. It means that, hey, I'm in agreement. I bears witness with me. I've been spending time with God. I abide with God, and he speaks to me, and I heard the very same thing. It bears witness with my mm-hmm. spirit. Hence, we say amen. So therefore, anyone or anything who inspires you to follow be a fellow believer, to serve and trust the Lord and to obey the Lord should be celebrated. We should celebrate that, whether it was a song, whether it's a radio program, whether it's a television broadcast, no matter what it is, if it inspired you. At the same time, this also means anything that discourages you, anything that divides you, anything that causes you to feel like us and them, versus like, oh, you know, this is, I got to get along with my hand because I need my hand, even though my hand's acting up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always thinking about, Lord, help me get along with my hand.
Right.
Help me get along with my eye. Doesn't mean that your eye wants to get along with you, but you have to be open to the probability that if your hand repents, that you're going to get along with it. Because
mm-hmm.
we need each other. It doesn't mean that it will happen, but on your side of history, for you to be on the right side of the equation, when you're rethinking church, understand that we cannot have an us and them mentality. It's just us. It's the universal church spoken of regionally, and often we see locally in the expression, we are not an organization, we're an organism. And so an organism is a living body, if you would. And so what we do at VFM Radio, we're here to encourage the body of Christ, the church, to inspire you. We're not here to inspire organizations. We're here to talk to you, the believer, who wants to know God more and who wants to hear his voice and who wants to know when you go to sleep tonight that God's going to speak to you, that he guides you and leads you as a shepherd. We are for you. We are so for you that we fought many fights against men's religions and traditions just to be here to tell you that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life and that you can survive difficult times. You can survive and be fruitful in your life. You can have a marriage and family by walking with God. So VFN TV and the Data Radio program is here. It's a ministry of Greg Lancaster Ministries, and it's here specifically for that, to encourage you, to let you know about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to inspire you and say, you know what, I can do this thing today, to give you the hope to say, you know what, I'm going to try to get along with my hand today. I'm going to try to get along with the parts of the body of Christ that are not trying to get along with me, and I'm going to go ahead and accept the fact that right now they don't want to, but if they do, I'm wide open to that getting along, because it's important for us, for our Father, to see his children getting along under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So rethinking church, the original tenet of the church, we're the body of Christ. Jesus is the firstborn from amongst us. Not only is he our Lord and Savior and King, but he is the firstborn of the church. He's the head of the church, and it's his body. So understanding that means this, that for us to get along is for Jesus' body to function as it was designed to do. Yeah, the enemy's sowing things continually, but we fight against that. We fight against those mindsets and the accusations of the enemy, and we do our best to give honor to each part as it does its work. We'll be back.
Steve, Vine Fellowship Network University.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steve, I have had the chance to go to Bible school before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was good. You know, I learned a lot of information.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Vine Fellowship Network University is about getting revelation.
Yeah.
It's about literally finding out about the pattern of God and God's revelation on his church.
Yeah.
You're going to be so impacted by the lessons learned. You're going to be so impacted by the prophetic words. You're going to be so impacted by fresh revelation that's going to take you to the next level. And it's not going to get you just about studying where the church has been, but it's all about telling the world where the church is going.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Be prepared. Be a part of the harvest. Get involved. Get in the game. Stop looking at what others are doing and saying, you know what? I want to be prepared for the end time harvest.
That's right.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org.
I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the Data Radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, we'll just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. Well, you know, I do want to say this morning, to encourage you that VFNTV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and I know you already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFNTV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFNTV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series.
Mm-hmm.
And series, you just touch it, and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, which also original intent and wisdom moments and
prophetic words.
Prophetic words, and those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetized. But then at the bottom, you can choose live, like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's VVictor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom. We need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king as his kingdom and the safety of his people. I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out, they came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now, and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, you know, when I was in the Navy back in 1812, in you know, when we were putting the sails up, the Navy.
All right.
We can sell the 5 C's. You know, that's a graduate school system today. There's 7 C's. And so I was stationed in Brooklyn. Give a shout out to our Brooklyn listeners there. And and of course, you don't have a lot of home cooking when you're in the they did cook a lot of food, but it just wasn't home cooking. But I found out, because I would catch the ride a bus from Brooklyn Shipyard, and I would ride it to the subway, and then I would catch the subway over into Manhattan. I'd get out about 33rd Street, something like that, by the USO, and I'd walk over to the Avenue of Americas, I guess, because they had a restaurant there called Bojangles Chicken. Oh, my goodness. I'd eat their chicken, okay, but their biscuits. Oh,
that's old school. Bojangles is old school. I don't even know they're still around, but
they are. Because I was just coming back with Donna from our anniversary, and we saw a Bojangles. That's why I'm talking about it.
Oh,
and it was still just good, and I'm like, I'm trying to convince Donna. Right?
Yeah, we need it. The car.
Let's go eat at this chicken joint.
Yeah, right.
She looks at me like, "What? No, this is Bojangles." It's like, and then finally she conceded. You know, she's like, "Okay." You know, and we went there and we both enjoyed it. But anyway, so they cooked their biscuits like with yeast, and they got this real fluffy, bready biscuit that's so good. So, you know, I'm young, I'm in the Navy, and just wanted some of those biscuits. And so I go down there and I'd catch buses and subways. And at that time, the streets weren't as safe as they are today
on
New York. Oh, believe me, it was a bit different than then. Anyway, so. Then I get to Bojangles and I order a whole box of biscuits. I'm at like six or eight biscuits. I'm just going to eat biscuits. I'm just going to eat these biscuits, you know. That's back when I had a 28 waist. Look what biscuits do to you. All anyway, right. Remind me to tell you about my doctor's visit. Anyway, so he, they give me this big box of biscuits. And at that time, there was a mansion that somebody had donated to the military. Mm-hmm. It was right there, I think, on Avenue of Americas. And you could stay there for like $12.
Wow.
You know, but it was just like, you know, communal type, these big, huge, you know, a mansion in New York is huge as it is, you know, anything. Yeah. You know, but it had these huge, you know, 16-foot ceilings and this old libraries and these big, huge rooms. There's no doors on the place, you know, and it was on the different bedrooms and all that kind of stuff. But you had several different racks, old metal beds, you know, in there. But, you know, for going to the city, you could stay and survive, you know, stay down the city for like $12 or something. And so I ate all these biscuits. I ate all these biscuits, and I'm like, oh, man, they were so good. I enjoyed every one of them. And so then I go to the mansion, you know, eventually get to the mansion thing. And I go there. I give them like $12 or whatever it was. And I go, and there's a rack in this room, a bed, and several of them. There's like a lot of different rooms in there. And you hear hard floors. So you can hear like things echoing in there. Uh-huh. And I was laying in this bed, John. I was laying in this bed, you know, as a young sailor. Mm-hmm. I'd eaten, I don't know, eight biscuits. It could have been more than that.
Right.
And the yeast that they use in their biscuits rises, and then you eat it. But they didn't fully rise yet.
Oh.
Okay. So I have these pound of biscuits.
Oh, my goodness.
In this young stomach, and all of a sudden, man, those biscuits began to rise.
Oh no.
I know it, man. I'm sitting here in this huge, hollow-sounding, 16-foot, no-door, 15,000 rack, $12 night. And all you could hear was like, oh! They just kept getting bigger and bigger. I'm like, I'm going to die!
Oh,
so you cannot say I can't empathize what it's like. To have a baby, because I think this thing was just growing bigger. I mean, it just got bigger. I'm thinking, it's not going to stop. I'm going to blow wide open. And so I just wanted to share with you. I got a chance to go to Bojangles Biscuits. But Bojangles Biscuits, Bojangles Chicken, when Don and I were coming back. And but I got good news for you. I had two pieces of chicken.
And how many biscuits?
And I had one biscuit.
Oh, wow.
That's wisdom, right?
It was good. It was good. It was good, but I know better than that now. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the last part of the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton. Here we are. We were looking during the break. We were trying to find, not Bojangles biscuits, but we were trying to find the tales of cockroaches and men. My grandsons, you know, came over, got a chance to see them. Man, they're just growing up like beanstalks. It's amazing. And I'm trying to find on VFN, on our VFN TV app, the cockroach story.
Yeah.
Everybody's sharing there. And those, the listeners from up north, this is like 6 foot wingspread stories. You gotta check this out, and you can find also on the VFN Torch. Go to vfntv.com. It's called "Tales of the Cockroaches and Men," and it's something about Pat squealing.
I think that was Chris.
Is it Chris?
Yeah, that was me.
Then we also have Chris joining us. Is that? And I believe I maybe raised my voice a little bit.
I think you squealed a little bit.
Some things aren't right. When roaches have necks, that's just not right.
It's been all the way around.
Yeah, they look around. It was just totally. I mean, you got to check that out. But for my grandsons that are listening, it's called Tales of Cockroaches and Men on the VFN Torch. Well, today's moment of wisdom is from Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. It's such an important word. Because the wisdom is just having God's wisdom. We got tons of information. We got more information than we need. Mm. We have more knowledge that's puffed us up, but yet we don't have this wisdom to apply the knowledge we have. It's better to have a little bit of knowledge and wisdom on how to apply that than to have a whole bunch of knowledge with no wisdom. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, that's like a quick test taker. They rapidly finish their test, right, and they go and turning it in front of your class and your college or in your workplace, no, or in your school, and they sit back like, look what I've done. But then you go hire that person. It's like, no, you don't beat the router blade with a piece of plastic.
No.
What are you doing? No, no. Do that. Put safety goggles on. Well, it never crossed my mind. Didn't you have a 4.0 GPA? What's happening here? What you have is somebody with knowledge, not wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So today we want to get wisdom. Lord, give us wisdom. Proverbs 29:25 reads, fear of man will prove to be a snare, and whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I think about that. Here we are in all these times today when so many things are happening in the economy, so many things are happening with the environment, with storms, literally, you know, financial and natural storms. And it's just, you know, what's going to keep me safe? Well, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So let's just break that down a little bit and find out. We just want to just brush over that. What does that mean? What does snare mean?
Mm-hmm.
Snare is defined as a trap. It's a trap. A snare is something, a trap that was used for a bird. So what we're finding out is that the Lord's telling us to stay away from traps.
Mm-hmm.
And fear of man, when you think about fear of man, this is important to understand, for many declare with loud, bold voices they don't have a fear of man. But their every decision is based on how their actions or words will be accepted by a man, while never once considering the heart of God and how God would feel about their actions. Mm. And so it's a trap. He's telling us, listen, so the opposite of up is down, and the opposite of left is right, and the opposite of fear of man is the fear of God. Mm. You can't just replace, you know, the fear of man with nothing.
Right.
You have to replace it with the fear of God. And we can and are called to honor men, but we're called to fear God. John Bevere writes in his book, The Fear of the Lord, you serve what you fear. If you fear God, you serve God. But if you fear man, you cannot serve God because you serve what you fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a trap. Imagine if somebody told you, hey, there's a trap over there. There's a trap over there. And don't go that way because there's a trap. Go this way and you'll be kept safe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the moment of wisdom is today. We're talking about it. So fearing the responses of others will cause you to be trapped by your own indecisions, your second guessing, and by your conversations with the adversary that you always accredit to the man or the woman that's not even in the conversation.
Right.
Because it's just you and the adversary having that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You're all upset with somebody who wasn't even talking to you. But you're letting the fear of man, the fear of what other people think, maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a competitor in the business arena, maybe it's a, you're thinking about how is this gonna affect men, and versus how is it gonna affect God. And he says it's a trap. But if asked, even though that people are not accrediting it to themselves or the adversary,
mm-hmm.
if asked, you'd have to acknowledge this man you fear has never entered into the conversation, that you're having in your heart and mind a conversation with yourself, or many times the adversary, Satan himself, that is responded every time to you, just like in the Garden of Eden, Satan did to Eve. Having mm-hmm. a conversation.
Right.
But when we trust in the Lord, which is the fear of the Lord, we'll be kept safe.
Mm-hmm.
People, I don't know if I can trust God. Well, you're not going to be safe. But I think I need to be worried about what somebody, you're in a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is my life always filled with traps? I'm telling you. Because you need wisdom. Wisdom says the fear of the Lord will keep you safe. The fear of man is a trap. To trade the fear of man for the fear of the Lord has a greater benefit than your 401k retirement plan, than the most mightiest army on the face of the earth, than all the ideas of man that were credited to bring him once protection, for we will be kept safe from the schemes of men when we have the fear of the Lord. Understand that understanding this. That doesn't mean that men won't conspire against you. They conspire against God. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that men won't threaten you. They actually threaten God. It doesn't mean that in the natural sense, when men conspire against you, that it won't seemingly bring you harm or bring us harm. Yet our faith and our confidence, our trust in the unfailing love and the protection of our Lord will separate us from their schemes and deliver us from their lion's dens and their fiery furnaces and their piercing accusations and keep us safe. A double-minded man, it's very important because we're talking about faith. A double-minded man gets nothing from God. James tells us that. And faith is a shield, our protection, a shield of protection, Paul tells us as he's writing to the church of Ephesians. So for us to experience the safety that comes from the fear of the Lord, we cannot go back and forth from fearing man one moment and fearing God the next. It's like bipolar faith and fear experiences. Mm. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I trust you, God. Oh, my goodness. You know,
right.
Think about that. We cannot go back and forth from fearing man and what he might do to us to fearing God and believing that he's going to protect us. We have to make up our mind because that would be double-minded. And a double-minded man gets nothing from God. You're shooting your own protection plan in the foot. That's the whole thing. This is awesome about our walk with God. When everything looks like the lions are going to devour you, you say, you know what? My God can deliver me, but even if he doesn't, he's still God.
That's right.
When the fiery furnace is there and say they're going to throw you in, you say, well, my God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't. I mean, you have no fear of what man can do. You fear God. Mm-hmm. And in that, you are protected. This bipolar conversations about faith and fear has got to stop in the church, and we got to rise up to the occasion and trust God even if it costs us our life. Hebrews tells us in 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. In addition to faith being our shield, it tells us then our surety and our certainty that God will keep us safe as we walk in the fear of the Lord while refusing to fear man will be the very thing that protects us and keeps us safe. It's not like we can just be a fool and act like anything we want to and don't pay attention and don't walk with God and don't walk in his ways and just say, hey, because I'm a believer in Jesus, he's going to keep me safe.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's because we walk with the confidence and the faith that he is going to protect. That releases the protection of God in your life. What does that mean? It means, for example, think about King David. Though he was threatened, and you can read about this over and over again, he had a fear of the Lord. And not fear of man, but he was kept safe. I mean, you can read about it in the book of Psalms. It's like, he talks about over and over again how men are coming against him, and he didn't deny his reality, but he said, this is my reality. But then he says, Selah, but God. And he would talk about his faith was still in God despite what men was doing to him. And he would cry out to God, listen, even in your pain and your agony, and even when all your emotions are under attack, that doesn't mean you are losing or that you've left your faith. It just means that now you have a great opportunity in the midst of the dichotomy of your experience. You can say, but even so, I still trust God. I trust him in the storms of life. I trust him in the midst of hurricanes and earthquakes and floods and tsunamis and financial crisis and evil leaders and scheming evil men. That I trust him in all of that. I mean, even when they're stoking the fire to throw you into it, you can sit back and smile and relax and know that the Lord has got your back. I mean, if you're in sin, If you haven't dealt with the sin in your life at the cross of Christ and asked God to forgive you, you need to be concerned because you're going to be double-minded about how things are turning out. But if you've dealt with your sin and you've asked God to forgive you and you're broken and you've repented and left your life of sin, trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Trust him and know that he is there for you and he will protect you. Listen, what's coming to the face of the earth right now, we talk about it in the Elijah Storm on VFN TV and all the things that you're seeing and hearing. This is our time to shine. This is going to be the church's greatest hour. Why? Because of all the persecution, all the things that are happening. They're going to say, listen, why are you so confident? Why are you so peaceful when everything that's happening, you're in the same storm that we're in, but you have this peace. And he says, this is going to be your greatest witness because that means that you're going to be saved and that by God. Doesn't mean that your house is going to make it. Doesn't mean that your job is going to make it. Doesn't mean your car is going to make it. Doesn't mean your country is going to make it. It means you're going to make it.
Mm-hmm. That's
That you're going to be protected at that by God, and they're going to be destroyed lest they find God. Just your very peace in the midst of the fiery furnace situations. Listen, today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, a trap, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.